Well, this is an album that a lot of people say, kind of almost like Nirvana changed music in 91 with the release of Nevermind, the Beatles changed it in 67.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that just a couple years before that they were doing Love Me Do.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was Lucy in the Sky, and what a mind-blowing album. I can't imagine hearing all those records that you love, and all of a sudden Sgt. Pepper shows up. It had to blow people's minds.
Well, on the 50th anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper, let's talk about some interesting quirks maybe about the album cover itself. You want to start with some of the music, maybe?
Well, you know, a lot of people maybe don't realize that the Beatles recorded everything in mono. And when it came time to do a stereo mix, they weren't even present. It was George Martin, Jeff Emmerich, and a guy named Alan Parsons, the tape engineer. When it came time to do that stereo mix, there was no way to duplicate exactly what the Beatles did. You know, for a month, they did over 700 hours worth of recording sessions, getting that mono mix exactly the way they wanted it. And then came time for a stereo mix just for the hi-fi enthusiast. And the mono and stereo mixes are drastically different because there's no way to duplicate it without the Beatles being there and telling them all the nuances. So the mono version has a lot more punch. The stereo version has got a lot more space, but it's really cool that there's the same album is so different.
Did the Beatles as a group care if it was mono or stereo? Did they have a preference?
No, they really, they just, when they first started recording at EMI, that's the way they did it. Everything was mono.
Yeah.
And they just kept doing it because they just were used to doing it that way. And once again, the stereo mixes back in the mid to late 60s were kind of an afterthought. Most teenagers had a mono record player, so the mono records sold a lot better. And not to mention they were a dollar cheaper than stereo records. At one time, Lennon even spoke in an interview about Sgt. Pepper, said, "You haven't really heard Pepper until you've heard it in mono. The mono mix has everything in your face, whereas in stereo it pans back and forth and it kind of hides stuff. All the special effects and all the, you know, the echoes and all the different limitations or limiters and filters and all the things that they did in the studio kind of went out the window when it was stereo."
Well, let's take it to another track on the album. Do you have a track that you can give us a little tidbit that maybe some of us might not have known how it was recorded, or a little behind-the-scenes take on the song?
You know, I always like Getting Better. It's a real rocking song. It's one of those things where you can tell John and Paul are writing a song together. It's getting better all the time. It's kind of positive by Paul. It Can't Get Much Worse is a little, acidic from Lennon. It all kind of bounces around like that, you know?
To admit, it's getting better, a little better, all the time.
I have
to admit, it's getting better, it's getting better, since you've been mine.
We've talked about the album cover in the past. Let's cover that a little bit as well. There's so much going on here with all the faces that are on there, all the references to Paul being dead. Can you take us through a little bit of the backstory on that?
You know, they already had artwork. There was an artist group called The Fool, and they're the ones that painted the Apple Boutique building. Anyway, they had an album cover all designed for them, and one of the photographers came up with the idea of, how about if you get a real, you know, artist that's well-known or whatever, so a guy named Peter Blake designed the whole thing. They were a band called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They weren't the Beatles anymore. And all the people on the cover were people that were very important in one way or another, whether they be a comedian or a world leader or a religious figure. At one time, they even wanted Jesus, Hitler, and Gandhi on there, but of course that was vetoed because it was a little too controversial for 1967.
You wouldn't think Jesus would be controversial, though.
Well, the reason that was is because about 6 months before that, Lennon had made the statement, we're bigger than Jesus,
oh,
and that whole thing exploded, so EMI didn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go.
Oh, there's Madame Tussauds wax figures of the Beatles on the cover, and that's the Beatles watching Sgt. Pepper also, you know. Not to mention, a lot of people, I don't know if they've heard the death clues about Paul McCartney. You know, there's always this rumor that he died in 1966, and they started putting things on the album covers to allude to his death. And if you look at the front cover of Sgt. Pepper, there's a couple of things that are unusual. The word Beatles is in red, and that's supposed to be Paul's grave. And if you look at the yellow flowers that look like a guitar,
it just says, to the right of the Beatles there, right?
Yeah, it says Paul question mark on it, which is kind of unusual. I think it's all coincidence, but it is kind of weird. Right above Paul's head, there's a hand that's kind of blessing him like a religious person would. There's a little car on the doll the doll's knees, the Shirley Temple. It's a Shirley. It's a Shirley Temple doll that says, "Welcome to Rolling Stones." Well, the little car on there is supposed to be the Aston Martin that Paul died in. On the back cover, Paul's got his back to the camera.
And he's the only one with his back to the camera.
And he's the only one with his back to the camera, and he also appears to be a lot taller than the other Beatles. But one thing about the cover, too, you know, there's all that Death Clue stuff, which I think is bull, but it is kind of weird that all this stuff kind of coincides with it. It's bizarre. I don't believe it, but sometimes I wonder.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. Silently closing her bedroom door.
Can you give us another little backstory on something about the album we might
well,
not
yeah, you
know
about? The Sgt. Pepper album cover is one of the first album covers to ever print the lyrics. Most records had inner sleeves that advertised other label albums. You know, when you bought a Capitol record, it'd have all the Beach Boys and Nat King Cole records listed on the inside, too, to help plug those albums also. Well, Sgt. Pepper actually had a psychedelic inner sleeve and a poster with cutouts, little pictures and badges and things like that. I'm also really glad that they've reissued all that stuff. You know, since 2009, a lot of the Beatles stuff has been remastered and redone and repressed on vinyl because everybody loves records again. And the fact that you can buy a mono record for about $25 is great because most mono LPs are way out of print, really expensive. And usually when you find them, they've been played so much that they're not worth buying. The new Sgt. Pepper box set's going to come out, and it's going to have a completely remixed version of the album. George Martin's kid, Giles, has done it. I don't know if it's Giles or Giles. But either way, he's also done a 5.1 mix of it that's going to show up on a DVD in the box set. So it's really kind of like a quadraphonic-type version of the album.
Okay. I'm at North Street Records in Uptown Normal. I'm John Norton with Jeff Wilson, the owner of North Street, and our go-to expert on all things Beatles. It's the 50th anniversary of the Sgt. Pepper release, and we're just having fun listening to the album. What's another song you want to talk about here?
Well, maybe we ought to just play Within You, Without You. You know, it's one of the first times George kind of dabbled in Indian music and all the darubas and tablas and all that kind of thing. Really a psychedelic piece of music, you know, let's play that.
So I have a friend who for years has said the Beatles ruined rock and roll. They killed rock and roll, and the Sgt. Pepper album especially.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, of course, but Sgt. Pepper is one of those records that's so influential, you either love it or you don't. You know, it's like it's so influential and it's such a beautiful record, but at the same time, it really changed music. You know, it was no longer "You Really Got Me" and "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." You had to really kind of, you know, you really had to start thinking about music, and music made you think. You know, it started kind of becoming more important than just a little pop song. It's more of a culture thing, you know.
Who were following the Beatles after this?
Well, you know, even the Rolling Stones started doing records like the Beatles, you know. Satanic Majesty's Request was their psychedelic record, but it wasn't, it just didn't have the same punch as Sgt. Pepper, you know. It just seemed like they were kind of imitating them. But they did the same thing with, you know, Beggar's Banquet. It was kind of a white album, and Let It Bleed and Let It Be, and, you know, there's a lot of comparisons with the Stones.
How about a final thought?
Well, I can't believe it's 50 years old. I can't believe all Beatle records are starting to be 50 years old now, you know. It's like, well, I guess it's almost like the world's classical music, you know, especially Sgt. Pepper, that's so iconic.
Well, Jeff Wilson at North Street Records, it's always a blast playing music with you, but especially when you got Beatles on the turntable.
Well, thanks for having me,
Jeff.
Love doing it.